verses 3 through 5. How about we have the brothers on 3, sisters on 4, and all together on 5. Brothers, stand. And sisters, with a strong amen. Go. Amen.
I wish in reading it you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ.
Amen. All together, 5. Which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets in spirit. Amen. In spirit. Okay. Amen. One more. Zechariah 12:1. Zechariah 12:1. You all have your Old Testament with you? Zechariah 12:1. You all should know this one, right? Zechariah 12:1. Ready? Go. The burden of the word of Jehovah concerning Israel. Amen. Forms the spirit of man within him. Amen. Okay, so this morning we will go on to our next station or next session. Training session. How was your training session this morning? I didn't see too many nodding heads, right? The first day is always the hardest, but as you continue to progress, you know, you might be, the first few days are the hardest because we're training, we're exercising, and we might be sore the first few days, but you got to push through that, and that's where the real growth and development takes place. So, sorry, I use all of these sports analogies. Sorry, sisters. I think so. Oh Lord, I need to grow more. So during these training sessions, especially in the summertime in football, they have these 2-a-days, right? Or maybe 3-a-days. They're going all the time through the heat, and they're training, and they're training, and training. But sometimes during these training sessions, the coaches will ask like a guest speaker to come. And like if you're in football, they'll ask an NFL player to come that went to that school, and that NFL player will speak to the players there. And they're just like, oh, wow, that's why we're here. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're pushing through. And it just gives that training so much meaning and invigorates them. Well, we just had our guest speaker. Did you know that? The Lord's table. Amen. We just had it right in the middle of our training sessions. This is what it's all for, brothers and sisters. You know, the Lord's table is the only meeting that the Lord personally implemented. He himself, the Lord Jesus himself, implemented the Lord's table. He said, do this until I come. Amen. So that meeting we just had, or not even meeting, it was a feast. The Lord's table that we just had. That's why we're doing this. That's why we have training sessions, training after training after training this week, is so that when we come to the Lord's table, we would remember him and we would be led to his sweetness. Isn't that wonderful? So I hope every Lord's day, every Lord's table, you would come with this view that I'm coming to meet this wonderful person. You're doing it every morning, right? You're touching him, you're kissing him every morning. And you're being drawn to him every morning. And then Lord's Day, we come together with all his children. And we're just in front of him, worshiping him, loving him. And eventually we're with our daddy, right? Abba, Father. We're just enjoying our Father's embrace and his hug. Okay, so I hope you would appreciate that we had the Lord's table right in the middle of our training, right? And then remember that this meeting, out of all the meetings that the churches have, this meeting, the Lord's table, is the only one that the Lord implemented himself. All the other meetings are scriptural, right? Prayer meeting, ministry meeting, those are all scriptural, but none were implemented by the Lord himself, right? So anyway, so continue with session two, training session two of today, right? And we'll go to, it's called morning session one, your tab. Morning session one. Are you all there? Page 11. And this line in the morning is the experience of life line. And let's read the title together. The human spirit revealed in Ephesians. Hallelujah for the human spirit.
Amen.
The experience of life begins in our human spirit. The experience of the divine life begins in our human spirit. Because God is spirit, and we have a human spirit. We'll get into this whole message. But right away in the line of life, in the line of the experience of life, we have to come to our human spirit. Because that's where all our experiences begin. And let me just say this real quick. Our session this morning is a little shorter than it typically is. So we're going to go to 10:45. So in our fellowship with the brothers, I might go right to 10:45. So we might not have some time for overflow. But we want to encourage you to have overflow. And we felt it was okay because it's the first day. So will you give me grace? And hopefully we can give you some time. But if I go long, I apologize. Okay, so in the first line of the experience of life, the very beginning is our human spirit. And you know, the whole line of this training is the revelation of the mystery, right? And it's really the book of Ephesians. And without the human spirit, we will not be able to touch the burden in the book of Ephesians. So the very beginning, we want to come to the human spirit. Okay, every chapter in the book of Ephesians mentions the human spirit. So if you want to get into the book of Ephesians, which this is the whole training, is on the revelation of the mystery, you better get the human spirit. Because it tells us every chapter about the human spirit. The first chapter is the one we just pray-read, right? Ephesians 1:17. And that he would give you a spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. And then in chapter 2, it's 2:22. That's that we would be built into a dwelling place of God. Where? In spirit. Then chapter 3, verse 5. We read this verse together, right? At the very end, it says, as it has now been revealed to us, to his holy apostles and prophets. Where? In spirit. Okay. Then chapter 4, verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's chapter 4, verse 23. Chapter 5, verse 18 is, do not be drunk in wine, but what? Be filled in spirit. Chapter 5. Chapter 6, verse 18, praying at every time, where? In spirit. Okay, so if you get anything out of this first message, we want to get this matter of our spirit. We get into the book of Ephesians, we better be in spirit. And you know, the brothers have shared in the past that the heart of the divine revelation, the heart of the Bible, are the epistles, you can say, right? But the heart of the heart is probably the book of Ephesians. And so if you want to touch the heart of the Bible, you come to the book of Ephesians, you better touch your human spirit. And you better pay attention to your human spirit. Okay, so let's read Roman numeral 1 together.
The
Right. So the human spirit, when God formed man, he formed man out of the dust of the ground, right? And then he breathed into man, right? And when he breathed into man, that became our human spirit. So Genesis 2:7 tells us that Jehovah formed man with the dust of out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And when he breathed into him, what happened? Man became a living soul. Then we come to Proverbs 20:27. And Proverbs 20:27 talks about the spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah. Okay, so if you get into the Hebrew text, the word for spirit, the typical word and the common word for spirit in Hebrew is ruach. And I'm not sure if I'm saying that right in Hebrew, but it's ruach, R-U-A-C-H, ruach. That's the word for spirit in Hebrew. But in Genesis 2:7, it uses this word for the breath of life, neshama. Neshama, N-E-S-H-A-M-A-H, neshama, right? So the breath of life in Genesis 2:7, the breath that God breathed into man and man became a living soul, that was neshama. It wasn't ruach. Okay, why do I say this? Because there it says breath of life. Then you go to Proverbs 20:27, where it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah. There, in Proverbs, that translation for the word spirit, what is it? Is it ruach? No, it's neshama. The word neshama, the Hebrew word neshama, which was the same word in Genesis 2:7 for the breath of life. So you see, the breath of life, neshama, in Genesis 2:7. In Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man, neshama. Neshama, neshama. Breath of life, spirit. So in God's eyes, very, very close, if not the same, right? So it's translated breath of life. Here it's translated as spirit. So the breath of life, A1 says, the breath of life breathed into man's nostrils was not the eternal life of God, nor the spirit of God, but something very close to God's life and God's spirit. So, you know, theologically, we don't want to be heretical and say that that was the life of God, but you have to admit, if the word translates, if the Holy Scriptures translates the spirit in Proverbs 20:27 and the breath of life in Genesis 2:7 as neshama, they're very, very close. Very close. Why is it very close? It's because there has to be something that is able to contain the life of God. There has to be something that contained the life of God. So, in Job, it tells us, Job says, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. And then Job 33:4 says, the spirit of God made me, and the breath of the Almighty has enlivened me. There is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty has enlivened me. So let's all read 2 together. Hallelujah! The spirit of man, the human spirit, is able to contact God and be one with God. You know, in grafting, you can't take two totally different kinds of trees and graft them together. It has to be very, very similar, right? That you can have an apple tree and a maybe a pear tree, that are very close, and you can graft them together, and there can be some transmission. But you can't take an apple tree and, like a pineapple, right? It just doesn't work. They're too separate, right? And in the same way, you can't, God's life cannot enter into a cow or any other creatures there in Genesis. Why? Because God didn't breathe into those creatures, which means there was no breath of, there was no spirit in those creatures. And so, you know, today you hear a lot about, oh, you know, we evolve from these animals, and we're you know, our chromosomes are like 98% the same as, you know, whatever, chimpanzees or whatever, right? But the biggest difference, I don't care if we're 100% the same in chromosomes or DNA. The biggest difference is God didn't breathe into those animals. Because God breathed into man, something was formed in man. And that formation is the spirit of man. It's the human spirit. It's something very, 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 very close to the life of God. And because it's so close, there's a way for God to transmit himself. And there's a way for God to fill us with his divine life, because it was very, very, very close to him. If we can't say it was him, we can say it's very close to him. And because it was so close, when he breathed into us, now we can contact God. Chimpanzees cannot contact God. Dolphins cannot contact God. Man can contact God. Amen. Because we have a spirit. Amen. You know, there's all these things. Freshmen, you're going to get into all these things in college. We want to inoculate you right now. Because the Bible tells us man has a spirit. Amen. And this is what distinguishes us from everything else. And that's why we are here on this earth today, is because we are here for God's eternal purpose, which has everything to do with our human spirit. And when he comes into us, these two become one. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it tells us, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when we're one spirit with him, we can contact God in our spirit. Okay, let's all read B together. Amen. So there's the transmission between God and man, right? God's spirit and our spirit. What is this transmission for? This transmission is for us to contact God, right? To receive God, to worship God, to live God. So we had the Lord's table. In the Lord's table, we have to exercise our spirit to receive God and to worship God. If we don't exercise our spirit, then, and we'll get into this later, we're not using the proper organ. And there's no contact, because God is spirit and we have a human spirit, we're using the wrong organ. Okay, well, here in Roman numeral 1, the main emphasis is the importance of our human spirit. And so in Zechariah 12:1, I love this verse. I love this verse because it talks about the heavens. Right? The Lord God Jehovah stretched forth the heavens. Now, what are the heavens? That's the entire universe. So heaven is for earth. Earth is for man. Man's for God, right? Man's spirit is for God. And so here in Zechariah, it says, stretches forth the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms, it doesn't say forms man, but it says, forms the spirit of man. Because that's what God sees. Okay, so when God looks at man, of course you've all seen this before, right? When God looks at man, what does he see? He sees this. This is man to God, our spirit, our soul, and our body. What we see when we see each other mainly is the body on the outside, right? 6'2", right? 6'3", sorry. 6'3", 2-something, right? That's what we see. But God sees the spirit of man. So the spirit of man is ranked with the heavens and the earth. And I don't know if that impresses you much. So I was looking, and Matthew, you're there. You know, with my younger son, he goes back and forth with Matthew all the time at the dinner table. Did you know? Did you know? So they have all these facts. Did you know? And they try to outdo each other, right? Well, so I tried to get some did you knows. Did you know with the universe, with the heavens? You know, did you know that with Pluto, you know, Pluto is not a planet now, but when I grew up, it was a planet, right? And it's what? It's how many miles do you know from Earth? It's a lot. It's a lot. I can't remember. It's maybe, I think when I was reading, it was like some 45 billion miles from here, right? The earth itself is what? 45, I don't know. I'm just trying to give some scope. Okay, well, I know this though, because I read this, that from Earth to Pluto, the distance or the speed it takes to get there, you know what the speed of light is, right? What's the speed of light? 9.7, what? So the speed of light is how, when there's light from the sun, right, how fast it travels, sorry. So, okay, from here to Pluto, at the speed of light, it takes about 46 hours at the speed of light to get to Pluto. Okay, so that's how far Pluto is. That's the end, kind of, you can say, of our solar system, right? That's our solar system. And then in our solar system, the astronomers have estimated, I don't know how you can estimate this, that there's about 10 billion solar systems in the Milky Way galaxy, which we believe we belong in, the Milky Way galaxy. So just imagine, okay, 46 light years to Pluto, right? So that's our solar system. Then there's another 999 billion. No, I'm sorry, 9 billion, right? 9 billion solar systems. Can you imagine that? In one galaxy. And then there's more galaxies out there. And the closest galaxy is 250 light years away from us. So just consider the expanse, the huge expanse of this universe. There's no way our mind can ever comprehend the vastness of this universe, right? But that's what Jehovah laid forth. He laid forth. So here on our little, right, where we're having the college training in the southeast, and they had the college training in the northwest, right, which is how many miles? About 3,000. Even on this earth, we seem so small on this earth. Right? So, huge universe. Then the earth and all the beautiful things in this earth. One of the brothers was sharing before, if you looked even to the smallest level, you take a needle point, and you put it under the microscope, even in its finest point, there's still all these jagged edges. The needle point looks so smooth, doesn't it? But you put it under a microscope, and there's still all these little jagged. Then you take the stinger of a bee, you know, a bee stinger, and you put it under a microscope, and it's so smooth. Of course, it's got barbs, right? But that's God's creation. to the finest detail. And then you consider the protons and the neutrons. They're trying to find the God particle, you know, all these things. So small, so great, and so small. That's the universe. That's the heavens, and that's the earth. And then you consider your human body, how you're made. How does our body, you know, Bobby, you just had a child, right? The cells form, and that life knows the form in a certain image. And then we come out, and, you know, you grow by eating and drinking, and there's cells, all these things. How does your heart beat? Wonderfully, wonderfully made. If God went through all the trouble to go through all these things, and then he formed the spirit of man within him, how could the spirit of man be anything less grand than all these other things? And so that's why, in God's eyes, he ranks our spirit with the heavens and the earth. In God's eyes, let me ask you, what about your human spirit? In your eyes, how do you consider your human spirit? You know, there's this matter of rank, right? So God ranks heavens, earth, spirit. Let's say that. Heavens, earth, spirit. Okay, there's that rank. That's like, I want to climb Mount Everest. I want to get to the peak of Everest. And then I want to climb Kilimanjaro, right? These are all high peaks. Then the next thing I want to do is I want to get to the top of Lumpkin Street Hill. You know, because that's a little incline, right? Are you out of breath by the time you get up there? That just doesn't rank. You can't put Lumpkin Street on the same level as Kilimanjaro and Everest, right? I want to meet the president or the CEO of Facebook and of Google and of, you know, GoDaddy.com. I don't know. Sorry about that, but you know what I'm saying? You can't put them on the same level. It's not the same rank. You understand this matter of scale? So in God's eyes, he puts them all on the same level. Heavens, earth, spirit. Again, let's say it. Heavens, earth, spirit. Why? Because our human spirit can contact God, can receive God, can live God, can worship God, can what else? Fulfill God's purpose and be one with God. That's why God views the spirit at that level. Without our human spirit, there's no way for us to fulfill God's eternal purpose. And there's no way for us to contact God. And that's why it's so close. It's so close to the breath of God. Okay. So, now that we have our eyes in the same way that God views. Let me share this. I was reading this other thing about telescopes. The most powerful telescope. Do you know what the most powerful telescope is right now? It's the Hubble telescope, right? Well, the astronomers right now are building the largest, the biggest telescope in the history of the world. It's called the 30-meter telescope. It's called TMT. 30 meters, we Americans don't know what meters are, right? So it's about 100 feet. 100 feet. The Hubble telescope right now is only about 2.5 meters. This one's 30 meters. It's going to be huge. It's going to be done in 2022. It's being built on the top of a mountain in Hawaii. And it's supposed to see the furthest man ever have seen of the universe through this telescope, right? And I was watching this video on it, and I'm not kidding you. This is what they said. This is what they said. They said, through this, we will know the origins of life. And we will know why we are here. This is what they said. This is what astronomers, that's the whole thing on space exploration, right? And through these telescopes. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this is where man is without their human spirit. They're searching. They're searching for the meaning of human life. They're searching for the origins of life. And they're spending millions, if not billions of dollars to build huge telescopes, hoping that they would find the meaning of their human life. But hallelujah! Amen. We know the meaning of our human life. Amen. We don't need a telescope. The Bible tells us. We have a human spirit, which is the meaning of our human life. God is for man, right? Man is for God. Both of these lives can be one in our human spirit. Oh, one more, sorry. I'm giving you all these times. You know, did you know? Did you know that Earth is the only name of the planets in our solar system not named after a Greek or Roman god? Did you know that? Why? Well, my interpretation is because the earth is Jehovah's. Amen. The earth is Jehovah's. The heavens for earth, the earth is for man, and man's spirit is for God. So we know the meaning of the universe and the meaning of life is our human spirit. Okay, why do we need our human spirit? Let's go to Roman numeral 2. God has given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Our regenerated human spirit indwelt by the Spirit of God so that we may see vision of Christ and the church. Okay, so we pre-read that verse, Ephesians 1:17, that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay, Jesus, and you turned your heart to Him and you opened your heart, your spirit, and receive the Lord, and He came into your spirit, the Spirit of God indwells you. He's now in your human spirit, right? And in your human spirit, we now can have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Do we want to see the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the church in Ephesians? Then we have to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to understand spiritual things, and it's in our spirit. How about let's have the brothers read Colossians 1:9. Colossians 1:9. And then the sisters, 1 Corinthians 2:10. Ready, brothers? Stand. How about stand? Colossians 1:9. Yes, amen. Being filled, right, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay, sisters, 1 Corinthians 2:10. Through the Spirit.
For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God.
Amen. Okay, so wisdom is in our spirit. As we know through the Word, 1 Corinthians tells us that wisdom actually is Christ Himself. So Christ is the one dwelling in our spirit. So in other words, when we come to the Word, and especially when we come to Ephesians, in order to see the mystery, we need wisdom. What does wisdom mean? It's understanding. It's hard to, well, you can see something without understanding it, right? And you can understand something but never see it. So first of all, we need understanding, and that's wisdom. That's the spiritual understanding. Okay, A is, we cannot know the spiritual things with our mind. We can only know them with the proper organ, our spirit. So we know this, right? This is using the proper organ. Like, we would never try to eat by putting food in our ears or in our eyes. That's just not the proper organ. What is the proper organ to see spirit, to have wisdom, to see the spiritual things? What is the proper organ? Our spirit, right? What's the proper organ to type? Your hands. That's the proper organ. So when we come to the Bible, when we come to Ephesians, we have to use the proper organ, which is our spirit. And I would hope, in the same way that God sees our spirit, we would have that sense of importance. Because we automatically default, many times, because we don't know our spirit, we default to mainly our mind, right? Which is the wrong organ. And that's why there's a lot of misuse and abuse of the scriptures. It's because they're using the wrong organ. And so a photographer, the most important organ that a photographer uses are his eyes. And a music critic, what's his or her most important organ?
Ears.
What about a Christian? What's your most important organ?
Spirit.
Every time we come to a meeting, every time we come to the Word, every time we pray, we have to use the right organ, which is our spirit. Okay, so we have to have wisdom to understand, and we have to use our proper organ, which is our spirit. Cleverness is in the mind, but wisdom is in our spirit. Revelation, the opening. So let's just touch this point real quickly. You can be clever, but you can miss the spiritual significance, and you can miss seeing things. And in your reading, our brother gives an example of a clever businessman, right? He was selling hats to English women in China. And a lady came in, looked at a hat, and the price point was low. So she said, no, that's too cheap. So he took the hat, he went to the back of the room, put a ribbon on it, came back out and doubled the price, and she bought the hat. That's pretty clever, isn't it? But our brother said, but when he came to the meetings, when it came to spiritual things, he had no ability to apprehend the spiritual things. Even though he was very clever, but when he came to the Word, when he came to spiritual things, not much wisdom. But you can have, our brother said, you can have a sister that he met, an older sister, not very well educated, but when it came to spiritual things, she was very wise. And I'll tell you, I was on a gospel trip to the Philippines. We went to this remote island, and we traveled by boat, by motorcycle, all this. We got to this little hut, which was their meeting hall. And the hut was probably the size, probably from that pillar to the end of here. That was the meeting hall to probably this first row. So that was the size of their meeting hall. If that. And we stayed, and it was grass, I'm talking real jungle here. I've never been to anything like that. And we stayed there in the village. And I remember this brother, this old brother, he was a farmer there. I remember early in the morning, the lights weren't even on yet. I remember seeing him sitting at a table in the kitchen there in his house. And of course, the house is not like our house, right? And he had a candle light. He had a candle. and he was reading a life study. And my heart just sank. I just said, thank you, Lord. There's ones like this. Apparently very uneducated, apparently very, very simple, right? In a jungle far, far away. Yet, probably full of wisdom. Because he was eating the life studies. He was touching the Word of God. So I hope, brothers and sisters, we wouldn't rely on our cleverness when we come to the Word and when we touch the book of Ephesians. Don't try to be too clever, right? Come and use your proper organ. That doesn't mean that we don't use our mind, right? And it doesn't mean you don't use your eyes. We're tripartite. So when you read the Word, you have to use your body, which is your eyes. And it goes through our soul, which is our mind. But don't get stuck there. Right? When we come to the Word, you have to come all the way into our spirit, which is the proper organ. You know, many times I'm reading the Word because I'm trying to get through my readhisword.com. I'm trying to check off my box. And my eyes are reading and my mind's going. Well, actually, sometimes my mind's not even going. My eyes are just reading. And there's not much mind activity. Right? We have to get the understanding. We have to read. So yeah, your mind, there's got to be some wave activity going on there. Right? Then we got to get all the way into our spirit. All the way into our spirit. And that's where wisdom is, and that's where revelation is. Okay, so point two is we need wisdom and what? Revelation. What is revelation? Let's all read two.
Revelation.
Amen. Revelation is the opening of the veil. What does it say? In 1 Corinthians, it says, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. Okay. Brother Tim, can you help me here? Whenever the heart, so let's say Tim's the heart right now, right? Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. Okay, where's the veil? Where's the veil? It doesn't say it's a physical veil, right?
Right.
So whenever Tim turns his heart to the Lord, the veil is, he can see the brothers. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Right? Actually, what the veil is the turned heart.
That's right.
Right? Because it's the eyes of our heart that sees. Amen. And so when Tim turns his heart to the Lord, hallelujah! The brothers! Right? The veil is taken away. Thank you, Tim. So, the veil here is a turned heart. And, you know, our brother Minoru has shared this many times with us as when I was a college student. We have to be concrete trucks. You know what concrete trucks are? They're always turning. Always turning. What happens if it doesn't turn? What happens to the heart? It becomes hard. Right? So always turn your heart. Always turn your heart. Lord, right now I turn my heart to you. How about, let's say that right now. Lord, I turn my heart to you. Lord, I turn my heart to you. Okay, when we turn our heart to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Then there's the ability to see. Then there's revelation. So we need wisdom and revelation. Okay, point three. Let's all read that together. Amen. Yes, so first, we have to have spiritual understanding. Then the wisdom in our spirit, right? Then the spirit can reveal the spiritual things to us to give us a revelation. So again, in your reading, our brother gives an example of an engineer that has studied engineering. And then he goes to a warehouse and they open the door. And when they open the door, there's revelation of a machine. And so he studied this machine all his study as a student or something, whatever, as an engineer through his training, right? But if he just merely studied and had understanding but never saw the machine, there's not much reason for the studying, right? You have a lot of knowledge. But you can also be a person that's never studied, and the warehouse door is open, and you see this machine, but you have no idea what this machine is. No appreciation for the machine. So you need understanding first, right? Wisdom. Then we need the unveiled or the turned heart so we can have revelation. Then we see this machine and we say, oh, I know what this machine's for. Oh, I know what the book of Ephesians is about. I know why Christ in the church is a central point. The book of Ephesians is because you have some wisdom in your spirit. And now you have some revelation concerning Christ in the church. Listen, without your human spirit, if you're not exercising your spirit in this training, especially in the evening meetings, especially when they're sharing along this line of the revelation of the mystery, you won't see the revelation. Because the revelation is in our spirit. So exercise, practice to exercise your spirit. Turn your heart. Turn your heart. Okay, now point B. Vision results when we have revelation, the opening of the veil. Sight, light, and the right position with the right angle. Okay, so I was reminded of this verse, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. So I will tell you, the college trainings for me, you know, I shared this last night, the college trainings gave me a vision of the reason I'm alive and the reason for my college years. And that's what kept me through my college years. And that's what we're praying for you, right? That's the first thing that the churches are praying for, is that the students would have a clear vision concerning God's economy. This vision is what controls you. You can say trains you. You can say restrains you. You can say regulates you. If there's no vision, you cast off. Okay, so if there's no vision of what training is for, that's why we spent so much time last night of what the training's for. If there's no vision of why we need training, then you're going to cast off all the regulations, cast off all restraints. In the same way, if we don't have the revelation in our spirit, there's no way for us to have a vision, the vision that keeps us. And, you know, last night, I shared about that soccer player that had that midfield shot. Well, when she was practicing, when she first started practicing with this coach, she had just got cut, right? I told you that. And when she talked to this coach, the coach said, what do you want to do? And she said, I want to make the women's national team. That was her vision, right? And he said, okay, if that's your vision, let me tell you, you're not going to have a life. You're not going to have friends. You're not going to be able to go out. And he told her all the things that she wouldn't be able to do. What are those? Those are restraints. Those were controls. And because she had that vision, she was able to live within those controls. And what happened? She played in the women's. She made the national team, played the World Cup, and they're still playing. Well, in the same way, brothers and sisters, as college students, if you have a clear, controlling vision, especially of what you see here in Ephesians concerning Christ and the church, this vision will keep you not only through your college years, but for your entire Christian life. Then, when the restraints come, you understand, I can't do that. I can't go with my friends here. Not because I don't want to. I would love to go to do this or do that. But because of the vision. Because of Christ and the church. Amen. I'm willing to forego this for the prize. What was the prize? Prize of incorruptibility. Right? The eternal value. All right. So in order, point number one, in order to see a vision, our heart must be turned to the Lord so that the veil must be taken away. Number two, in order for the eyes of our heart to be able to see, we need to have a pure heart. Okay, so our heart, right? We talked a lot about our spirit, but then now we're talking about the eyes of our heart seeing. What is the heart? The heart is one part of our spirit. What part is that? Our conscience. So our heart is composed of our conscience and then the rest of our soul, the mind, emotion, and will. So in order to have a pure, in order to see a vision, we have to have a pure heart. And that means our mind, emotion, and will, including our conscience. So I think you've all have heard a lot about the conscience, but always, especially at the beginning of a training or a conference, it's good to go to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything? Is there anything in my conscience that I need to confess? I just confess it right now, and thank you, Lord, your blood cleanses me, and I'm forgiven. Okay, then that matter is taken care of, right? Then we have a clear way to see the Lord. And then we'll see, then three, to see a vision, we need to be open and consecrated. So tonight, be open. Be open and consecrated during the brother speaking. Only those who are open and consecrated or single can receive light when they read the Bible. Sorry, I missed a point back under A4. We need to exercise our spirit to pray, read the Word, in order to receive wisdom and revelation from the Word. So as you're memorizing, the best way to memorize the Word is to pray, read the Word. Pray implies using your spirit, right? Read is your eyes and your mind. So pray, read the Word includes the exercise of your spirit. Okay. And four, in order to see a vision, we need to be in spirit and turn to see. As long as we are in spirit, when we turn, we will see. Praise the Lord. And then finally, seeing a vision of Christ and the church may be likened to capturing a scene with a camera. The lens cap must be removed. Now, I don't know if you all remember the old cameras. You all use your phones now, right? The old cameras, there was a lens and there's a lens cap and there's an eye hole. You can still look through the eye hole and still see, but the lens cap isn't on, so the light can't come in. And the film doesn't get exposed to the image. So our first thing is we have to take off the lens cap. The lens is like our mind. We have to get past our mind. Then the film is our heart. We want to have a pure heart. So that image, that heavenly scenery, we can take a picture of that heavenly scenery. And, you know, there are all these things that come in to affect. We might have something on our conscience, and it's a little difficult, and the pictures we see may be a little distorted. You know, my wife one time, she bought a new phone, and she took the phone, she went to one of our children's performances, and she was taking pictures, you know, during the performance and during the video, took videos, and she came home, and she downloaded it, and it was all blurry. And she's like, oh, you know, can you take a look at my phone? There's something wrong with my phone. Is it the lens? Is there something? Because it's all autofocus, right? Then when I looked at it, because it was a new phone, it still had that plastic. Sorry, I'm exposing my wife, but I was like, just take it off. Right? So with us, there might be a little film, just a little film. It was clear. You can still see through it, but it was blurry. It wasn't that sharp. So when we come to the Word, sometimes maybe a little blurry. You can see something, right? You can be touched by something, but maybe not that focused. So let's deal with our conscience. Let's have a pure heart with our mind, emotion, and will. Then we're able to see a vision. And we, of course, we need the light. We need to be open, and we need to be in the right angle. With all these things, we can have a clear, controlling vision concerning the mystery of Christ in our human spirit in the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah for our spirit! Hallelujah. Do you have an appreciation of your spirit more today? Amen. I hope we would always be reminded of the importance of our human spirit, especially here in the book of Ephesians. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for our human spirit. Normally, we don't have announcements right here, but we do. So quickly, if dorm access cards, if you did not get one last night, or you also did not put your name on that list that Bobby had, then we need to get that, your name on that list right now. So during the break, go to the service office and do that. So the dorm access card, not the key, but the access card. Okay, the dorm, the ground floor is actually the second floor in the elevator, so you don't end up in the wrong place. Third, Bolton Dining Hall. So this is important. Please plan on all the time using the crosswalk. They built a fence, put a sign, and sometimes have police officers to help you do that. So anyway, you have to make sure and go all the way. It seems like a shortcut just to cut across the road, but there's no crosswalk there. So let's just receive that as a part of the training. Just use the crosswalk, okay? The other thing, the parking permits. If you need one, if you didn't get one, then please sign up at the service office counter. And Monday morning, this is important, Monday, bring your car here to the station, and then we'll get you a parking pass. So bring it right after breakfast on Monday morning, and we'll put the parking pass on. You won't get a ticket. Okay, last, bathrooms. Brothers, use the upstairs on this side, and sisters can use both downstairs. So that's a slight shift. If you live here in Athens, all these downstairs bathrooms are for the sisters during the training. And so that's the handicapped also. I think that's it. Let's take our break now. 10 minutes? Be back here in 10 minutes or earlier.